of Luke, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight, and may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I found today's gospel lesson a very puzzling one. Pharisees coming to Jesus, warning him to get away from here, to get away from Jerusalem, because Herod wants to kill him. Aren't Pharisees Jesus' foil? Aren't they his enemies? And so why is it that they came to warn him to stay away from Jerusalem? One possibility is that maybe some of Jesus' followers were in fact Pharisees. Could be. Another possibility is that Jesus himself was a Pharisee. It's possible. On our Monday Bible studies in the afternoon, we have learned that we really don't know much about the historical Jesus. What we have is the Christ of faith. It could also be that the Pharisees were warning Jesus about Jerusalem because Jerusalem was their territory, and they were afraid of the ruckus that he might cause. They were afraid of the turmoil that might result from his appearance, and that their positions would be threatened. He did go to Jerusalem. He was not to be deterred. Luke tells us he set his face to Jerusalem and never looked back. Luke tells us that Jesus entered into Jerusalem with a parade, what we call Palm Sunday, the very beginning of Holy Week or Passion Week. When he entered into Jerusalem, he went directly to the temple, and with a whip, he turned over the table of the money changers. And when he turned over the table of the money changers, trouble began. And I got to thinking, what is our Jerusalem? Could Jerusalem be a metaphor? Where would we prefer Jesus not to go into our own individual lives? I think that most of us would like to be inoculated with Jesus. We want to get just enough Jesus, but not too much, because we don't want to get a full-blown case of taking Jesus seriously. We wish to take him seriously only when it suits us, when it fits into our agendas. But we do not want to take him so seriously that we are inconvenienced or cannot do what we wish to do. This past week, Dr. Ganshaw and Russell and I were here in the sanctuary trying to figure out how to do the chancel area for this wonderful Bradley Chorale, 45 singers who are going to be leading us in worship. And Russell mentioned to Dr. Ganshaw how I'm a bit particular about the baptismal font. I like to have it in the center of the chancel or on the center of this as you come up the steps, because I believe that our baptism should be inconvenient. The baptismal font should be inconvenient. It should not be something that we set off to the side when it is convenient for us, but rather it is at the very center of our faith. Our baptism reminds us that we are a child of God, not because of who we are or what we did or what we did not do, but we are a child of God because God chose us. God loves us with an infinite love that will never, ever let us go. And that our baptism sets us on the road to discipleship, to taking Jesus seriously. Our baptism should influence every decision that we make, the values that we hold, and the actions, those things that we do and do not do. Show me your works, the Epistle of James says, and I will show you your faith. What you believe is betrayed by the things you do and the things you say. The late Robert Munger delivered a sermon years ago at the University Presbyterian Church in Berkeley, California, entitled My Heart, Christ's Home. And in it, he used the metaphor of Jesus taking up residence in an individual's heart. And when Jesus entered into that person's life, there was a little housekeeping that had to be done. Things had to be put back in order. There was the study, the place where the individual trained his mind. There was the dining room where he fed his body and his spirit. The living room where he spent his leisure hours. The rec room where he gathered with his company and where he cut loose. But there was also one more room, a hall closet. And from that closet emanated an odor that smelled like a dead mouse. I believe that this is where our Jerusalem is, that locked closet door, the place that we declare off limits, out of bounds to the risen Lord. Jesus is welcomed everywhere in our lives except this place. Now, for some of us, Jerusalem is the way in which you spend our money. Money is neither innately good or bad. It just is. You can use money to build hospitals for the benefit of a community, to heal the sick and to comfort the dying, or you can use your money to buy admission to major universities to the detriment of meritocracy. In the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' real turning point in his life came when he turned over the tables of the money changers in the temple, because at that point he hit them in their pocketbook, and when they were hit in their pocketbook, Jesus went from preaching to meddling. But the truth of the matter is, our values are most clearly revealed in the way in which we spend our money, whether it be as individuals, whether it be as a family, whether it be as a corporation, whether it be as a nonprofit organization, or whether it be as a congregation. Our checkbooks belie the truth. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to those who would hear him, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But the opposite is also true. Where your heart is, that is where you'll find your treasure. For those of us of a certain age, remember Watergate. We may remember the phrase, "follow the money." That's what the investigators said. But as Troy Avenue rapped, it's all about the money, isn't it? Now for others, money is not their Jerusalem, but rather our home is. I will never forget the conversation that my wife and I had with a family whose husband and father had passed away. We were sitting in their living room, and after we got the order of service worked out, as is our custom, we asked the family, "What is your fondest memory of so-and-so? How do you picture him in your mind's eye?" And there was an embarrassed silence in the room as mother and daughter cast side glances at each other. Now, I'm one who's very comfortable with silence, so when I ask a question, I can wait to get an answer. Finally, the mother spoke up. The mother and the wife spoke up. She said, "I know you have to say nice things about her husband. He was a well-known businessman. He was a political leader in the community. He led many civic organizations. He was widely respected. But," she continued, "he was not a nice man at home. We really have no fond memories of him." What a horrible legacy to leave. But yet, do we wish to keep Jesus out of the affairs, out of our domestic affairs, the things that go on behind closed doors? Do we put on one face for the public and a different face for those who know us best? Still others may find that their Jerusalem, the place where they do not want Jesus to meddle, is in their business world. We may not want Jesus to see the decisions that we make, the corners that we cut, or the rules that we bend or break. Not everything that is legal is moral. All of us, I believe, have our own individual Jerusalem, that place where we do not want Jesus to enter into, that place where we like to think to ourselves that God does not see or know what is happening. But here's the thing. Jesus went to Jerusalem. Jesus continues to go to Jerusalem. God knows that which we try so desperately to hide from everybody else and maybe even ourselves. God knows the truth. Now, this may seem like bad news to us, but it is also good news. It is gospel. Jesus went to Jerusalem where he